Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 4. I'll be reading from verses 1 to 9, as well as 13 to 20. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. This is the word of God.
Let us pray. Indeed, Lord, as we hear the word, may our hearts be that good soil, not just hearing, but accepting and applying it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My wife, Serene, likes to keep plants. So if you visit to our house, you notice we have a lot of plants outside and inside. And some of these plants are so healthy that they flourish. And then we will propagate them and bless others with the plant. It is common knowledge to know that plant needs a good dose of sunlight and water. But these two essentials do not necessarily guarantee the health of a plant. What is important is also the soil. It is crucial for the plant's growth. No gardener in the right mind will plant on a path or in a pot of rocks. A responsible gardener will not entertain weeds or thorns growing with his plant, because they will compete with the plant for nutrients and eventually choke the plant. This plant would not be a healthy plant. And it's every gardener's joy to see their plant or their little garden thrive, flourishing with leaves and flowers and even fruits. In our passage today, our Lord tells a parable about how the soil affects the growth of a plant or a harvest. A parable is like a little story, but Jesus is telling more than a story. He's infusing it with spiritual truth. So the Lord is not giving us gardening tips per se, but he wants us to evaluate evaluate the condition of your heart when it comes to hearing the Word of God. How well do you and I hear the Word of God? How do we listen? How do we respond? It matters. Because our attitude and our action that results from hearing the Word of God has a tremendous impact on how we will grow in our relationship with God. It has a tremendous impact in our lives, in how we receive the Word of God. Mark is usually concise, the book of Mark, and Mark's favorite word in the book is the word immediately. If you are observant, you notice that the word immediately is being used about 40 times in the book of Mark. And the narrative or the impression that Mark wants to give us is an action-packed, fast-paced gospel. He wants to show us that Jesus in the book of Mark is always on the move. Jesus is moving from place to place, healing to healing, teaching, ministry, always on the move. But more importantly, the word immediately in the book of Mark tells that Jesus is always steadfast to obey the will of his Father. And that is what Mark wants to project. So in later part of Mark, the journey towards Jerusalem, Jesus is steadfast that he will go to Jerusalem, even though he knows that the cross awaits him. So Mark is like a chop-chop gospel. He doesn't dwell too much on details. He doesn't elaborate too much. So it's quite unusual that in our passage today, Mark goes a little bit into the details. And one of the details he tells us is about the crowd that is following Jesus. He describes the crowd a little bit more. It's not just a crowd, it's a very large crowd. And then in the same verse, he tells us about this crowd again. It is the whole crowd. So what does Mark want to highlight? Why the details? Well, it's quite obvious that Jesus by now has a mammoth following. A lot of people are following him. But Jesus doesn't seem to be impressed with this big following, because he tells the parable that comes after. And Jesus knows and he understands that in a crowd like this, there are different kinds of people who are following him. Different people hear the word of God differently. And each listener will respond differently to Jesus' teaching according to the condition of their heart. And so he says, listen, behold. He has spoken a couple of parables, and now when it comes to the parable of the soil, he warns the attention. Listen, behold. This parable is very important. The parable, as we heard, tells of a sower planting seeds. Familiar scene for Jesus' listener who are familiar with farming terms because they are predominantly a farming community or laborers in the field. And everyone can understand why a farmer would sow his seeds widely, cast his seed widely. The farmer, at the end of the day, wants optimal yields, a big harvest. But Jesus is not talking about how to get a better harvest. He's using a daily life routine to highlight a very important spiritual lesson. The story goes on to tell that the seed fell on four different ground. The first terrain is seed along path. And the seeds that fall there became very accessible to the birds, and they became a free meal for the birds, taken immediately. So this seed has no chance at all to germinate. The second terrain is a rocky ground. The terrain of this nature can be quite deceiving because the top layer are soil, but deep within this soil are actually rocky pebbles. And because of the thin layer of soil, it probably takes a shorter time for the plant to break out very quickly. But then it will not last because it doesn't have deep, it cannot grow deep roots. The deep roots are important to reach the water resources below, which is below the soil. So when exposed to a scorching sun, it withers very quickly. The third type of terrain contains thorns. And thorns are aggressive. They will compete with the plant for resources, for nutrients, and will choke the plant. So while this plant may be existing, it is not healthy. It is a weak plant. It cannot produce fruit. And then the final terrain is a good soil which produces great results. And the yield is phenomenal. Jesus says, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Same seed is the same seed, but planted in different soil produces different results. The one on the path did not germinate. The one on rocky ground germinated quickly, but terminated as quickly. And the one that landed on thorns may be alive, but because they are constantly surviving with the thorns, they are being choked. And needless to say, they won't bear fruit. And finally, the ones on good soil bear fruit in abundance. We need not think too much what this parable means, because Jesus explains this parable in verses 13 to 20. And he tells us that the seed is the gospel or God's word. The seed is God's word, and God's word is planted in four different conditions, revealing the hearts of the listeners, you and I. All can hear the same word, the same sermon, the same preaching, the same teaching. All of us can hear the same thing, but it will result in four different kinds of response. So let us look at each ground and discern what it means. First, the seed planted on paths. And this seed symbolizes those who listen, heard the word of God, but the word has no effect on this person. Why? It could be their hearts are hardened to the gospel. They already made a very clear decision. I will not listen. I will hear, but I will not accept the truth of the gospel or the word. Robert Solomon, the former bishop of the Methodist Church, in his book, The Story of Jesus, described this group as churchgoers. They listen to the sermon but are distracted by a number of things. Maybe one of the distractions is fiddling with the phone, thinking about lunch, and many other things, the cares of the world. So while they may look like they are listening, they are not accepting the word. It has no effect. And the bishop writes this. The listener is turned, this group of listeners is turned into a consumer who superficially appreciates what is being said, leaving no further time or space for deeper reflection. They only hear, but fail to listen. So Satan comes, snatches any potential of spiritual growth. And then in verses 16 and 17, the seed on rocky ground. There are those who hear the word, impacted by the message, but their response seems to be emotional, superficial, do not stand the test of time. And some in Jesus' audience probably fall into this category. Wow, the healing. Wow, the spectacular. Wow, the charismatic preaching. Heal me, feed me, fill me. I like this stuff. But you realize when Jesus later on start talking about going to Jerusalem, taking up the cross, servant leadership, the crowd began to crucify him. Persecution, trouble, obedience, not my cup of tea lah. I like the sensational, the charismatic feeling. So the rock represents those who believe when it's favorable and convenient. But their initial enthusiasm evaporates the moment when following Jesus becomes discipleship and cross-carrying. And then we have the third group that is represented by the seed sown among thorns, managed to sprout. This group managed to grow a little. But unfortunately, the thorns are entertained in the same soil that they are growing. And what does this thorn mean? Jesus tells us, the cares of the world, the deceitful, in other words, deceitfulness, lies of riches, and the desire for other things. Primary concern for this group of believers is not so much about God's word, what he says, what does God want me to do with my life. The priority for this group of believers is, how can I generate more and more money? How can I earn more and more? And more doesn't seem to be enough. Because when I earn more and more, I need more and more. I believe in a lie of the more and more. The worldly and the material has overtaken and become priority rather than faith, trust, doing the will of God. So worries, the need for more and more, the chasing after more and more, they became serious obstacle for spiritual growth. Later in Mark chapter 12, Jesus tells us the most important commandment of all, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Unfortunately for this group of believers, it is not God they love, but money. Thorny plant has another master to serve and cannot bear kingdom fruit. Finally, we come to the one, the seed planted on good soil. They hear the word of God, but the difference between the other ground is they don't just hear. Jesus says they accept it. In other words, they do something about it. They reflect upon it deeper, and then if it challenges their life, their will, or their attitudes and their behavior, they make certain changes. So they allow the word to germinate by giving serious thought to what is being said and humbly accept it. They make commitments to apply the Word of God, and the Word of God shape their life, their behavior. And the result is a bountiful harvest. The parable highlights the this is what God is looking for in every one of us: fruitfulness. And what does fruitfulness, spiritual fruit, mean in the Bible? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it describes what this fruit that God is looking for. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These ninefold characteristics are bunched in together in a singular fruit. And when one applies the Word of God in their life and let it transform their mind, their hearts, their attitude, and their actions, the Spirit of God, together with the Word of God, transform our life, our character, more and more. Another picture of spiritual fruitfulness that we see, especially in the New Testament, is the act of service. Transform life as one receives the gospel, begins to serve, being acts of love, hospitality, and outreach. These are the spiritual fruit that God is looking for. And the picture that Jesus paints about this spiritual fruit is, look at the impact and the influence that if one bears such fruit will make. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That is to say that this person's life is so impactful that it is a blessing, a tremendous blessing to people around them. It's a life that impacts life. She blesses people with the message of the gospel, the acts of service. Now, we heard the parable. The parable describes different ways people respond to the gospel and to God's word. And the focus of the parable is not really the sower, the one who sows the seeds, as important as it is. The focus is also not so much the type of ground, the focus is on the soil, the type of ground, which represents our response to the Word of God. And we hear that God wants us to bear fruit. That's the purpose of the parable. He's looking for those who are planted on good soil. And we bear fruit when we are rooted properly in the Word of God. So question is, how do we tutor our hearts to be good soil? The parable highlights how we listen matters. How we listen to the Word of God matters. You can listen casually and go out of the door and forget about it. It makes no impact. Or you can listen with intent. A story was told that a man consulted a doctor and told the doctor that his wife is going deaf. And then the doctor said, "What happened?" And then the man said, "You know, I asked her what's for dinner and she doesn't answer." And the doctor decides that, you know, he should see the wife. Calls the wife in and then asks her to stand on the door. And then he tells the man, "Oh, go ahead, ask her what's for dinner." Then the doctor asks her to come closer a little bit. And the man asks the same question. And the doctor did this test several times. And finally, the wife was standing beside him. And he asked the man, "You ask again." And then the wife looked at the doctor and said, "For the fifth time, I said spaghetti." The man thought that the wife had a hearing problem, but he is the one who couldn't listen. You know, like the man, we think we are hearing. We think we don't have the problem, but actually, perhaps we are not listening. Listening involves more than an organ, more than the ear. Listening involves concentration. Listening involves your mind and your heart. It moves from understanding to application. When we hear the word of God, it should give us a new outlook. It should influence how we behave and how we live. It is listening that calls for action, at times humility. Humility to accept and to change. And how we listen and how we respond to the word of God will determine fruitfulness. So how can we cultivate listening and responding to God? You know, we live in a time where there's sensory overstimulation. Handphone always with us, K-dramas, we are stimulated, social medias, all these takes up our mind. And we are bombarded with information and noise from all around us. How do we listen? But when it comes to important matters, we will listen, don't we? So for example, if you want to travel, we will listen to the weather report. Oh, the weather report say it's going to be a heavy snowstorm, and we will take some actions. We will listen to instruction when we go on diving trips and climb mountains. We will pay attention. When I was doing my airborne course in the army, the instructors every day were screaming at us, feet knee lock tight, feet knee lock tight. Your feet and your knee must lock tight when you land. Until today I remember, I never forget. And when we jump out of the plane, we forget everything. But when we are about to land, we hear the loud hailer and the familiar voice, feet knee lock tight. If you don't lock tight your feet and knee, you're going to land with broken legs. We remember, don't we, when things are important. But why is it when we hear the word of God, we have such a casual attitude? We listen not just with our ears, we internalize. We apply. That is listening. Don't stop at the ears. Use your heart. Use your mind. What is God speaking to you today? When you leave the door, don't leave the word here. Take it with you. You know, I used to see people taking sermon notes with pen and a journal. It seems to be a very rare sight now. Maybe you are still doing it with mobile phones, wonderful. But church, remember this. By the time you reach your car door or you reach the MRT station, you probably forget three quarters of what I said. Point is, if we don't make attempt to retain and relook the word of God along the week, you forget. The word will have no impact on you. So, note as we hear, reflect on God's word throughout the week. Now, I have a friend who go on spiritual retreat when things are just too overwhelming. She will draw away from the crowd because she says too much already, and she will just go and listen to God in silence. My wife will say that sometimes in gardening, we need to loosen the soil, and other times we need to add compost and fertilize the soil. There's no one way, one method, or one time fits all when we come to meditating the Word of God. Different one of us are wired differently, and we have to find our way, what best suits us. Sometimes I like to take a walk, go for a swim. As I do that, I digest what is God saying. The regular habits of listening, finding time to read the Word of God, stillness, solitude. These are things that tutor our heart to listen. So, brothers and sisters, God sows His life-giving words generously in our hearts. We have so much resources made available. Whether we read it, how we read it, and how we respond to the Word of God, that determines fruitfulness. So one application is, how do you listen to the Word of God today? What steps do you need to make to eternalize the Word? That we don't just forget and let the birds take it away or Satan snatch it away. Another application that I like to draw from this parable, it is encouraging for those of us who share the Word of God, or if you were to share the gospel or evangelize to others. You know, like the sower, we are called to sow the Word of God, the gospel, without knowing the result at the end of the day. We don't judge how people receive it. Sometimes the gospel will be snatched away, people reject it. Other times, the growth, the initial growth, turns out to be a disappointment. But the encouraging thing this parable shows us is that while we may be discouraged by what we see in the three types of ground, God is working. Like the parable, God can just touch this one seed, transform this one seed to be a fruitful tree-bearing seed, a tree-bearing tree. So what he says is that in spite of our failures in sharing the gospel, the setbacks, or even the persecution, persists on. Because it is that one seed, that one tree, that is going to produce that tremendous harvest that is going to be blessing, that's going to be a blessing to so many people and communities. So keep sharing the gospel. I found this picture online. I thought it's rather interesting that each of them represents the different soil condition, which is their heart. Which of these person would you identify with today? Is it like the path too hard to receive the gospel or the word of God? Jesus invites you to dwell deep in Him, to respond to Him. Our hearts are our hearts like a rocky ground. Make a commitment to grow deep roots. Our hearts, like a plant among thorns, the cares, the deceitful of riches, the desires of the world have consumed us. And Jesus' invitation to you is turn around. These are lies. Only Jesus gives eternal life. Trust Him. Whatever your condition of your heart is, Jesus invites us to draw close to Him. So can I invite the music team as they play this song softly? Let us make a response to the Lord. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Let's be silent for a while. Which type of ground is a problem to you, or is a reflection of your walk with the Lord. Will you take this time to come and confess to the Lord? Will you tell the Lord, Lord, I will take your word seriously. Not just listen with my ears and forget and go through that routine every Sunday or every time I read your word. But diligent to hear it with my mind, my heart, with what your spirit wants to speak to me. And if you feel that you are like the plant that is planted among thorns, that the cares of the world has consumed you, or you have sidetracked in your journey with the Lord because you are chasing all these things, the Lord says that these are lies, that things that makes you happy. Return to Him. Make the commitment to come back to the Lord. Heavenly Father, you and you alone know the condition of each of our hearts. We come before you, Lord, humbly repent. We ask once again that your Spirit come and fill us, to give us the fresh encounter whenever we read your word, to give us the spiritual strength and joy to discover new things about your word, humility to accept, courage to respond. We ask this, Lord, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, let us sing this song as a response to the Lord.
Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is closed, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil.
Stand with me and we sing to the Lord. Make this your prayer.
Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. Break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, Lord, let my heart be good song.
Father, thank you for reminding us to listen and to respond. How we listen and respond determines how fruitful we are. So help us to remember, to reflect upon your word, so that our life will be of a good soil, so that our lives can point others towards Christ's likeness. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.